Father, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let the light shine into our hearts this morning, giving us understanding, revelation knowledge, opening our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to understand. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our Emerge series continues. Today, the would-be destiny killers turned to destiny helpers. You know, I am so fired up, come out against the devil this morning. And, you know, I want you to listen in. Let's expose some of the things the devil and his wily ways try to come up against the children of the Lord, but it'll never work. Praise the Lord. The Lord always masterminds that devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to talk about what is a would-be. Now, like I said, it's only would-be. They can't really destroy your destiny, but they want to try. The would-be destiny killers or destiny destroyers. And then we're going to talk about destiny helpers. We're going to also talk about, you know, people that you should surround yourself with who might be your destiny helpers. Some of them you know, some the Lord will put in place. And people you should disengage from. Some of them might be would-be destiny destroyers, and so on and so forth. You know, we'll see what the Lord wants to tell us here this morning. In order for us to emerge properly into where God wants us to be, we need to share this wisdom for us today. And this lesson give us the right ammunition to protect yourself, protect your mind as well. But the Lord, He's the one that protects you. God has His providence looking out for you. Providence will, you know, is God's continuous, you know, guiding and watching and protecting and preserving His plans for your life. That's His providence. And He'll do it too, no matter what the enemy plans or tries, you know. There are destiny helpers that God will set up for you along the way. You know, I mean, they got a position. Then sometimes you know they are there. Sometimes you don't even know they are there. The Lord is the one that will set them up. And as we are going into these last few days of this year and going up through into the next year, some things that the Lord wants to put in place for you so that you'll be properly, you'll properly emerge through the end of this year and through next year into the future as well. And so we bring you this lesson from the Lord today. Let's talk about some destiny helpers. You know, they're there. God will put them in place. You know, sometimes they may even come in the form of advisors. God will put out there, you know, to help you. Look at some examples in the Bible and see how the Lord, you know, give help even through destiny helpers. Some of them are obvious, some not so obvious. But we'll look at a few stories in the Bible. And then I'm going to come out and expose would-be destiny killers or destiny destroyers. I mean, that's those who would want to destroy your destiny. But how that the Lord will frustrate all of that. Praise God. There was a story. Let's start here in look at some destiny helpers. You know, Moses was a man that was chosen by God to greatness and to be a deliverer, even when he was little. He was chosen of God. Well, the mother, the sister, may or may not have known it, but they really didn't want their son and brother to be killed. Now, Pharaoh's commandments went out to kill all the males, you know, because they started to see how that the children of Israel were multiplying. And they said, well, these people will be stronger than us if we're not careful. The way to prevent that, some kind of genocide, kill all the males. They won't be able to reproduce. Well, you can save the daughters alive. We'll probably take the daughters to ourselves, but kill all the males. Well, of course, Moses' mother and his sister had other plans. And God had put them in place, you know, to be a destiny helpers for Moses. A little boy, you know, I don't know, maybe 3 months old, whatever, you know, didn't know anything about it. And the sister of Pharaoh also, you know, didn't know that she was going to be a destiny helper. She didn't know anything about it, you know, but the Lord, he had his plans. And when his mother said, well, you know, let's see, you know, how we can save this little boy's life, you know, make a little container, put him in it and cast him up on the river and say, well, wherever he goes, you know, the Lord will go with him and so on. You know, it came to pass because of the plans of the Lord that the Lord, he sent someone down to the river, you know, to go at that particular time. She saw, you know, the thing and said, go to fetch it. And it turned out that there was, my goodness, there was the a little baby in there. Well, she took the baby to herself because she needed a son too. And, you know, and God, you know, and she was thinking in her heart, well, I need someone that's going to nurse this baby for me. And here comes the sister and say, oh, you know, I know a woman. She'll be a good nurse for this little baby. And I said, okay, well, go call her. Let me check her out. And she called the very mother of the baby. Of course, nobody told Pharaoh's sister that it was his mother. And then she was paid to nurse the child. Praise God, you know. So, sister to Pharaoh's daughter, really is who she was, became a destiny helper at the time. She didn't know it. And then brought the child in to Pharaoh's daughter. And they said, ah, you know, he said, let me read the story so I don't get it mixed up here. The sister of Moses, here's what he said to Pharaoh's daughter. Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yeah, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, nurse it for me, give you your wages. And the woman nursed it. So she was paid to nurse her own child. And that's number one destiny helper in Moses' life. And as Moses began to grow up, you know, there were other things that happened in his life. You know, when he grew up and took matters into his hands, killed an Egyptian, ran away. When he got into backsides of the desert, you know, linked up with Jethro, married Jethro's daughter. And Moses began to do a lot of things. God had brought, you know, made him to even go back and deliver the children of Israel. And God used Jethro at one time to help him, instruct him. He was a great prophet, had seen great, tremendous miracles. but he needed some help. And so Jethro said to him in Exodus chapter 18, the thing that you are doing here, the whole of Israel line up every day. You're the only one that's judging them and you're the only one that's teaching them instructions and so forth. You're going to, you know, weary everybody out. You're going to kill yourself too. You know, so the Lord sent Jethro there, you know, to help him and to instruct him. You might notice that Moses was a great, great prophet at that time, and done tremendous miracles, even the parting of the Red Sea and all of that. And yet he took, you know, somebody, complete unknown person at the time to give him instruction, you know. And Moses was humble enough to accept, you know, the instruction. Say, well, if you listen to me, and if it seems good to you and the Lord directs you so, well, do it this way. Set up some people to do this thing and so on. And then you take care of the bigger issues and, you know, the instructions on matters of God. But, you know, let others take care of these things. Delegate. Otherwise, you're going to kill yourself. Now, that was one helper that the Lord set up for him. Along the ways, there were other things as well. Let me leave the story of Moses alone. Let's go to a story that is more exciting. The story of Joseph. That one was a little more exciting. Now, in the, before I leave, the Holy Spirit was telling me you left something out. Well, before I leave the story of Moses, although I focused on the destiny helpers, you know, remember that Pharaoh was a would-be, that's right, would-be destiny destroyer that wanted to kill all of the males. And they actually killed some of them, but God raised up destiny helpers, even among the housewives. I mean, not housewives, midwives. You know, they said, well, because they saved some of the children and they disobeyed Pharaoh's orders. And they said, well, why'd you do that? They said, well, you know, it's before we got there, the women were strong. They're not like the Egyptian women. Before we got there, they just, you know, gave birth and hid the children from us. And they were destiny helpers that helped to save the lives of some of those little babies. And God blessed them because of, you know, doing that as well. You know, God bless those, you know, midwives and so on. So that's one. Pharaoh was a would-be destiny killer then. The midwives were destiny helpers. Help to protect the destiny of some of those little babies. I'm moving right along to the story of Joseph. Joseph, as you all know, his father loved him because of, you know, being Rachel's son, you know, their old age and so on. And he preferred him above his brothers, favored him, gave him a coat of many colors and all that stuff. And, you know, Joseph himself dreamt many dreams, and his brothers hated him already because his father loved him, and when he told them their dreams, they hated him even more. I mean, when he told them his dreams, they hated him even more. And one day they had an opportunity to bump him off, and their father sent him to go, and father didn't want him to go out in the wilderness with his brothers. Father always kept him at home. But one day he sent him there, go check out your brothers. They're out in the field. They've been there for long. Go see if they, how they do. And so when he went unto them, they saw him coming. They said, wow, all right. Here comes this dreamer of dreams. Let's kill him. Now, these would be, you know, these are would be destiny killers. They wanted to kill him. Say, well, let's kill him and we'll see what will become of his dreams. You know, he's always telling us how he's going to be greater than us and how we're going to bow down to him and so forth. We'll see about that. Let's kill him right now. But right in the midst of them, right in the midst of those would-be destiny killers, because they say, well, if we kill him, we'll see what will happen up to his dreams. And those dreams were Joseph's destiny. But let's kill him. But God raised up Reuben. was a destiny helper right in the midst of them. Say, well, what do you want to kill him for? Let's just cast him here. Let's not shed any blood. Let's cast him here, you know, into the pit and so forth. Because he had in his mind to come and save him later. And so, you know, God raised up a destiny helper right there and preserved the life of Joseph. They cast him into the pit. And when Reuben wasn't present, you know, they saw a band of Ishmaelites come in and they said, well, and Judah, another help, you know, destiny helper, said, well, why leave him in the pit, you know, to be rot and destroy there? Just sell him off to this, you know, if he goes into this foreign land, we'll never hear of him anyway anymore. That will be the end of his dreams. Another destiny helper. He didn't know it, but, you know, so they pulled him out of there, sold him to the Ishmaelites, who carried him to Egypt. Meanwhile, when Reuben got back, he lamented because the boy was no longer there. And so that was the story, the beginning of the story for Joseph. Now, it turned out, as you know this story, all of these things that they did to him to hurt him actually propelled him forward. So we see towards his destiny. We see that the would-be destiny destroyers and killers actually turned out to be destiny helpers. Unwillingly, though. These are unwilling destiny helpers. Now, there are willing destiny helpers. And we'll talk about that in a bit. And there are unwilling who think they're actually doing you evil. But God masterminds their plans. And so they thought they were doing Joseph evil. And but when the favor of God is upon you, and Joseph, the favor of God was upon him, that favor spoke for him everywhere, even in slavery. He had favor, you know. Potiphar, who bought him, favored and saw that he was a goodly child and that things were good around him, and continued to promote him, promoted him above head of all of his servants and so on. And of course, another destiny destroyer, or would-be destiny destroyer, rose up. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, as you know the story. And when he wouldn't comply, you know, she framed him and got him sent to prison, you know, to destroy his life and make him miserable. You know, I would have made you great. I would have given you great honor. But because you didn't do this, you're going to rot in prison, you know. And she despised him, got him sent to prison. And she was another would-be destiny killer. However, unknowingly and unwittingly, she became a destiny helper. The Lord actually turned her evil to good. Because, you know, unless Joseph had been sent to prison, some of the other things that happened would not have happened. It was in prison that he met the butler and the baker, who were also sent to prison by Pharaoh. And during one of his rounds, even while he was in prison, you know, there was a hidden destiny helper right there in prison. There was the warden of the prison. He saw that, you know, there was something upon this Joseph man. I mean, his demeanor and everything. And he made him, put him in charge. He was a silent destiny helper. By putting Joseph in charge, Joseph had access to all the other cells where all the prisoners were. And he got some tasks to go around and check on them because he was put in charge. You know, most of them had access to only their own cells, but Joseph had access to all the cells. That was a hidden destiny helper in the warden. And it turned out that on one of his rounds, he met this baker and butler, you know, and they would chat, and then he would go away. He'd come back, they would chat some more, and then go away. And one day, he came and noticed that their countenances were falling. And he said, "Why do you look so sadly today?" The you know. And God began to put some things into motion right there. But notice also that it was his empathy, his compassion, you know, that made him go down that path. If he had not been paying attention to their demeanor, because he had seen them before, talked to them before, they didn't seem sad. One day they seemed very sad. And he noticed it and asked. So God used that part also in Joseph to propel him forward. And he didn't know it. And in the interpretation of the dreams and all of that, you know the story. Eventually, you know, one day when the butler was restored, eventually, although he forgot about Joseph, you know, God set it up in such a way that one day the butler was there when Pharaoh dreamed a dream and he was asking for everybody to help him interpret. And nobody could. And then God put it in the mind of this man. Say, oh, I know my fault this day. There was a young man who I was in prison when my Lord cast us and me and the baker into prison and this and this and that. And he told the story. And this young man, you know, he interpreted our dreams one day that we dreamt. And he fell to us as he interpreted. If you fetch this man, he will interpret. It became, although late, because Joseph had asked of him, please give a good word to me for before Pharaoh when you get there. And he didn't. But God timed it perfectly, because if the butler had got there and said something to Pharaoh, that, oh, there was a man, it wouldn't have made any difference at all, because Pharaoh didn't need that at the time. You know, but God timed it perfectly when Pharaoh needed an interpretation for his dreams that troubled him. God put in the butler right there, became a destiny helper. And he said, well, this man will interpret the dream. And when they called him, of course, he interpreted the dream and also gave wisdom on what to do. And Pharaoh promoted him over all the land. And lo and behold, all of the evil things that happened to Joseph, even those his brothers that wanted to kill him and destroy him, they became unwilling destiny helpers. At first, they were would-be destiny killers or destiny destroyers, but God turned them around unwillingly, and they didn't know it too, because they thought he was gone and dead. And by the time Joseph would be reunited with them, they couldn't believe it, because they thought he was gone, that they'd never see him again. And they, all their wicked deeds actually propelled Joseph to the top. Now that's a classic story to that turned a, you know, a set of would-be destroyers, destiny destroyers, into destiny helpers. They didn't know it, but God used them. God masterminded their plans. And Joseph eventually told them, said, look, you did all these things to me. You meant it for evil, but God turned it around for good. He sent me ahead to protect their posterity and so on and so forth. Incredible story. And yet another story, you know, that God will turn the tables in your favor from those who want to destroy your destiny, kill your destiny. Their hands are trying to cover the flame. That's a flame. You know, that God, I mean, you're supposed to shine a light, a burning light. And I see these hands trying to cover it up, you know, but can't do it. Or trying to snuff it out. Can't do it. You know, and there was another man called Haman in the story of Esther and Mordecai. And he wanted to destroy all of the Jews just because Mordecai would not bow down to him. Because he had been promoted and everybody else bowed the knee to him. But, you know, Mordecai being a Jew, he wouldn't do it. He said, I'll only bow the knee to God. And so this man was furious. And he plotted all kinds of things to destroy and kill Mordecai. And his friends and his wife, they told him, Mordecai, he's nothing. He's just a dead dog out of flea, you know. Why would you kill him only? Kill all his, you know, all his nation and all his countrymen and every one of them. He said, you've got the power anyway. Speak in the ears of the king and he'll give you the authority and wipe them all out. Why would you kill only one person? Kill them all. Destiny killers in the making, they thought. You know, and that's why I call them would-be destiny killers. Kill all the Jews. And so on the day that he thought he would do it, God turned the thing around and put it on his own head. It came to pass. The angel of the Lord troubled the king one night. He couldn't sleep. That's right. It was the angel of the Lord. You know, God troubled him that couldn't make him sleep. And he said, I can't sleep. My sleep is gone away from me. Get me something to read. And then the Lord positioned somebody there. I said, well, you know, I tell you what, I'm going to bring you the chronicles, you know, of some things that you can read. You know, he wanted some light reading, but they brought him some serious reading. And as he began to read it, he found in the place, he said, my goodness, who is this Mordecai? I mean, he had saved, the king more than once from, you know, assassination attempts because of the intelligence that he gave and the knowledge that he gave of the plots that he overheard. And he saved the king. And these things were written down. And the king said, was there anything done to compensate this man for the good deeds that he did in saving the life of the king? More than once? And they said, the chamberlain said, no. I said, why not? Well, we don't know, but it wasn't done. All right, well, I'm going to do something. Who's in the court? And at the very moment, the would-be destiny destroyer was right there. At that very moment. I mean, why? Why was he the one that was there at that very moment? It was at that very moment that he had come in to ask for the life of all the Jews. I'm going to kill them all. You know? And then God said, you know, to God put something in the mind of this king. He said, look, I got to do something to compensate this man. So he called on the man that was in the court. Who's in the court? They said, well, it's him. I said, hey man, he's a good man. Let him come here. He'll tell me what to do. You know, so he asked the man, look, the king has intention of honoring somebody because of some great deed they've done. What should the king do? I know you're a good man. I mean, you know, he was recently promoted and everything. And he's been the only one around the king, being promoted and invited to things and so forth. So he thought, you know, hey, who else would the king want to honor? I'm the only one the queen has invited. He didn't know that God was setting him up. And he used his own mouth. This would be destiny killer. Use his own mouth to promote Mordecai unknowingly. He's piled on all the things that the king should do because he thought he was coming to himself. Oh, let the king, you know, take his robe and give it to such a man. Let the king take his chariot that he used to ride. Let the king take even his ring off his hand. Put it on the man. Let them proclaim throughout the land that the man is the man. And make him second. He just went on and on and on and on. He piled on all kinds of things. Because he thought he was coming to him. And the king just said, he's out of fire. He said, yes. You know, tell me more. Anything else? When he could think of nothing else, the king said, all right. You said well. Now you go see to it and do everything that you have said and diminish nothing. And do what you have said to Mordecai. Thank you, Jesus. And God turned the tables around. The would-be destiny killer turned to be the destiny helper. Promoted Mordecai. Saved the life of the Jews. But he didn't plan to do that. He wanted to kill them all. But his very own action, God turned it around. And he was the one. You know, and I call it, you know, God making your enemies to serve you up on, God will set up a table, make your enemies to serve you on the table. That's right. Mordecai, Haman was her greatest enemy. And he was the one that served them up that blessing. You know, right there, he served it up, all of it, to Mordecai. In one day, Mordecai used to sit down at the gate. You know, he was almost a nobody, except that his niece was in the palace. But he was really a nobody, you know. And in one day, just like Joseph, you know, promoted him over all the land. But the mouth of the very one would have been his killer. And his friends, Haman's friends, said to him, look, if Mordecai be of the Jews, before whom you have begun to fall, you will not prevail against him. So you better know, better flee for your life. You are finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is what is going to happen. That's why I say I'm coming out against any would-be destroyers here. Would-be destiny destroyers. This is what's going to happen. God's going to turn the tables in your favor. It's part of your journey to emerge. And all the things that anything or anyone or any system supplied against you, God will turn it around and bring it right back to your promotion, whether they intentionally or not. And God did these incredible things. There are more stories in the Bible, you know. And I told you a story about Jacob and Laban the other day. Laban was also an unwilling, you know, destiny helper. He actually wanted to kill Jacob's destiny. You know, keep him as a slave, keep him as a worker, put him underneath him. Make sure the man doesn't do anything for himself. Change his wages multiple times. You know, and just keep him subdued. You know, oppressed. And so forth. You know, he was a would-be destiny killer. And destroyer. You know, but, you know, the Lord used the facts of his wickedness, you know, to actually turn things around for Jacob. If it wasn't, you know, all of these changing of the wages and everything that he'd done, you know, God would not have visited Joseph and given him that incredible strategy. I mean, not Joseph, Jacob, incredible strategy to get all of Laban's wealth. It was what Laban had been doing to Jacob that made God to visit Jacob and say, here's what you are going to do. This is the strategy, you know, and God gave him strategy and he made he changed the course of nature because of instruction and strategy that God gave him. God said, well, tell the man, you know, you're going to take all of the cattle that nobody wants, the ring-streaked, the speckled, the spotted, and so forth. And he said, well, nobody likes that. Well, yeah, that's what you're going to do. I'm going to tell you how you're going to transfer the wealth. And in a dream, the Lord showed him how he's going to transfer the wealth. Incredible thing. Nothing like it in the whole scriptures. You know, and this man came, you know, just took a stick, carved a few things, changed the colors on the stick a bit, put it in front of the cattle when they made it and when they conceived. Every one of them came out the way Jacob wanted it. My goodness. The strong ones, he left the feeble ones alone. Took all the strong ones like that and transferred the whole wealth of somebody that meant to keep him down. 20 years, the man kept him down, you know, but unknowingly, even though he wanted to destroy his future, he actually became an unwilling destiny helper. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you a few things here about some people, you know, that you should surround yourself with, and some people that you should disengage from. You know, now, I've taught this in my Wisdom Pillar series under Prudence, and I taught it a couple times, perhaps at least once on this platform, maybe elsewhere. But I'm going to tell you this today, in case some of you have not heard it before, or maybe you heard it, but you forgot. This is critical when we're talking about emerging. There's prudence that must be done and used, you know, to protect yourself. I'm going to tell you four groups of people that you must surround yourself with and four groups of people to disengage from. That's right. The ones to disengage from, they would also include would-be destiny destroyers. I'm going to tell you about them in just a bit. You know, in fact, let me tell you the people that you should disengage from first. The people, here are four groups of people that you should disengage from. Otherwise, you will be struggling and you will be having a yo-yo experience when you're trying to emerge. So God's going to give you wisdom today. Stay away from these people. I'll tell you who they are. Number one, stay away from people who do not respect your values. That's right. That's number one people that you should stay away from. And how did the Bible put it? You know, it says, look, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And because of that, he said, look, let your moderation be known unto all men. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Your moderation. Communicate your values to people. And if they don't respect your values, get away from them fast. You know. And that's a lesson I give to those also who are trying to be married. If you're single, you want to be married, you know, communicate your values. You know, put your stake on the ground. And if the person you're trying to marry does not respect those values, get away from them. Because they are going to be bring destruction. They'll never bring you any good. They don't respect your values. They may not agree with you, but they got to respect your values. And everywhere you go, in business, everywhere, you know, if you are trying to get into business with people that do not respect your values, get away from them. And if you don't, they're going to bring you down. You know, because they're going to attract evil. They'll be a magnet. I mean, you are supposed to be a magnet for favor. I'm going to talk about that maybe in my next lesson. But you know, there are other people that will be magnets for trouble. And the number one such people are those who do not respect your values. When you are trying to be up and up and you shack in with people who don't respect your values, they're going to cause you to put your hand into iniquity. You know, they'll be trying to make you do things on how to, you know, cheat and lie and deceive and so forth. You're not going to emerge by doing the cheating, lying and deceiving and so forth. You know, that's how man thinks, and that's not going to work. In this emerging that God's bringing into your life, you got to be straight as an arrow. You know, so disengage from anyone or any system that does not respect your values. That's right. Number two, negative critics. Negative critics that always focus on your weaknesses and they always try to stomp you down. Say, you'll never amount to anything. You can't do that. That's never going to work. You know, negative critics. You know, and they say, look, you tried that, that didn't work. Or what makes you think this is going to, I mean, you're not, it's not going to work. I mean, they just, all they can see is negative. All they can see is, look, and it's the same thing. Even in spiritual things, you know, there are people who have stumbled in their journey of faith. And when they are trying to come up, spiritual leaders, they beat them down. They won't let them, they leave them, not only leave them wounded, they beat them down even more. The Levite and the priest, they saw the wounded man there. They passed on the other side. And they left him wounded like that. And he took only the good Samaritan, you know the story, to come there and bind up the man and so forth. You know, but today's religious leaders will not only leave you wounded like that, they'll pour in insult upon injury, as they say. You know, they'll never let you live down that mistake that you made one time in your life. The negative critics. And they'll never let you get ahead. Put you down all the time. You'll never get, as in their books, you're condemned forever. You know, and you need to disengage. That's right. I'm telling you here it today, disengage from such, because they're not going to let you get ahead. All they see is what's wrong in your life. Never see anything good, you know, and they'll never let you hear the end of some error that you ever fell into. Whereas Jesus, in John chapter 8, they brought to him a woman that should be killed and stoned. You know, it's what Moses said. Stone her to death. What about you? What say you? And Jesus, he wouldn't do it. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, a smoking flax he will not quench. You know, Jesus is not going to, a broken reed he will not break. You know, he's not going to, something is already about to die. He's not going to finish it off and die, kill it. You know, he's going to say, hallelujah. He came to say, to seek and to save. Glory to God. Now, God needs shepherds, spiritual leaders that will seek, save, be compassionate, have empathy upon the sheep. But a lot of them today, no, they won't do that. Disengage. Because they, you know, they're not there for your good. You know, they're not going to help you. In this journey, better look out for yourself. That's the number two set of people you need to get away from. Negative critics. You know, I spoke about the religious side, but it works in also every sphere of life. You know, those who are always negative, that's all they see. As a matter of fact, why do you want to hang out with people who are negative anyway? They will never help you. You know, don't share your dreams with negative folks, because they only pull you down. They will never, because you say, you can't do that. That can't happen. It's all negative. That's why Jesus said, look, when you are looking to get ahead and you are believing God for something, don't just put your pearls before swine and don't give your jewels in front of dogs. Go find somebody that has some faith. That's what Jesus said. You know, if you find another person that has some real faith, then two of you can ask me anything and it'll be done. But don't share your, you know, your vision with some negative person. They'll kill it. They are, you know, killers. So get away from negative people. That's number two people. Number three, I call them users. You know, they're only there with you for your goodwill and your influence. You know, they have no interest in your advancement. You're just on their own. And once they get what they want from you, they'll turn against you. They can become a rival, you know, and so forth. And look, you got to use wisdom. If you don't know it and you spill all your beans, you open your mouth, tell all your business plan, they steal those business plan, they go do it, and they leave you stranded. Be wise as serpents, Jesus said, but harmless as doves. What does a serpent do? Well, he hides his hand. It's not going to come out in the open. He'll crawl up under that rock and so forth and coil up and ready to strike. And he's looking for an opening. I mean, he's a cunning thing. You know, it's very sharp and cunning. You know, but Jesus said, yeah, you have that kind of wisdom, but harmless. You're not there to strike. You're there to use that wisdom to protect yourself. You know, and so on. So, but, you know, the prudent foresee the evil. You know, some people are just, that's why I thought this under prudence. Some people are foolish. They just open their mouth anyhow, say everything. You know, they don't know when to, you know, say and when not to say. And they get into all kinds of problems. So get away from users. They're there to sap from you. They only call you when they need you. And when they are finished with you, they'll stab you in the back. You know, they'll get anything they want from you and then they'll turn around and stab you in the back. Get away from them. Praise God. You know, look, people who have no, I mean, anyone that's going to bring down your, especially your spiritual journey, get away from them. Jesus taught the story of how to say no. And so a lot of people don't know how to say no. They just say, oh, you know, today, in today's church world, Christianity, if you say no, they say, oh, you don't have love. You know, but Jesus said, look, there is a time that you got to say no, especially if they are trying to mess with your spiritual walk with God. You know, they're going to be a hindrance to you. You need to say no. Jesus gave the story of the foolish and wise virgins in Matthew 25. And Jesus commended the wise virgins because they knew how to say no. You know, give us of your oil because our lamps are gone out. And these wise virgins said no. That's right. There are times you need to say no to users. You are going to take away from your anointing. They're going to destroy, you know, your walk and going to be a hindrance. If they're giving, their oil, neither they nor the foolish will get there. And so that there are times you got to say no. You know, drop them like a bad habit and get away from them. They're not going to help you. They're called users, you know. And so if you don't know how to say no, well, you know, these users, they always have an emergency. They'll call you up when they need something. And after that, they'll never remember you again until next time they need something. Look, you know, you need to be discerning. If you can help them, that's good stuff. You know, I love to help people. But I'm not going to help someone that's going to bring me down. You know, especially if you are going to be a hindrance to me, I'm going to get away from it. You know, so, and don't let someone's emergency, you know, or their lack of planning or their lack of understanding become your own problem. You know, so, no, it's not your problem. It's theirs, especially if they won't listen to advice. Yeah, I've known people, they call you up, you know, and you tell them as it is. But they won't listen. They go and do their whatever is in their mind. And I say, look, don't come to me, ask me anything. If somebody comes to me, ask me something, you're going to get it straight. That's it. If you don't want to hear it, don't ask me. Go do whatever is in your mind in the first place. But if you come to me, I'm going to tell you the way it is. Whether you like it or you don't like it, I'm going to call it straight. And, you know, there are some people I've called things out straight for them. And they came to me and asked me. I thought they were asking for advice. But they were looking for me to support their, you know, foolish position. And no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you the way it is. You know, and then, well, they don't want to hear it. Don't come to me next time. You're wasting my time. Go do whatever was in your mind to do anyway. Yeah, listen. There are some people that don't care even for the gospel. We don't know who they are or who are not, but you'll see what they do. One man came to Jesus. Well, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him the truth. But he went away sorrowful. Did Jesus run after him? No. Jesus just said, look at that one. How hardly it is for people that trust in riches to be saved. Jesus didn't run after him, just left him alone. You know, when you need me, I'll be right here. When you're ready to hear the truth, you come back and get it. There are some people that you tell the truth to, but they don't want any part of it. You know, well, you know, they are people who are there just to hear you say what they want to hear. Scripture called them, they have itching ears, keep to themselves whatever they want to be told in the last days. Itching ears, keep unto them, say, preachers, teachers, have to tell them what they want to hear, but not the truth. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, there's a lot of people actually that do want to hear the truth. Not everybody that doesn't want to hear the truth. A lot of people, those of you who are in this room, you are here because you want to hear the truth. That's why you keep coming, because we tell it to you like it is. Praise the Lord for you. Amen. That's number three, people. Users. Get away from them. And the last number four, of people to disengage from is what I call would-be destiny destroyers. I already talked about them today. They are envious of your progress. They are envious of the good things. You know, they envied you. You know, his brothers, Joseph's brothers, they envied him. You know, he should have not opened his mouth and blabbed out his, you know, just keep it to yourself. They don't need to know. But even in your errors, God can still use that. Even though Joseph made a mistake by opening his mouth and, you know, telling his brothers who didn't care for him about what God was showing him, Jesus will warn us later. He said, look, don't put all your precious things before dogs. They will rend it. They will trample it down, turn around and rend you. Well, Joseph didn't know that. He opened his mouth and told, and then they began to plot against him because of what he said. Well, nevertheless, providence will protect that destiny. Hallelujah. Providence will still turn that around one way or another, you know. But I'm sure, you know, there might have been a shorter path, you know, to that, you know. God would have brought it to pass anyway. But, you know, some of his, you know, errors gave him a lot of trouble. But nonetheless, God turned things around. Now, you got to be wise, but harmless, you know. So don't spill all your beans before people. They don't care for you anyway. You know, tell them anything. They don't care. And how do you know people who don't care? I'll tell you a story. It's a funny story. You know, many years ago, when I first moved into this country with my family, someone came up to me. It was supposed to be a brother, actually. It was a brother. And, you know, we went to church at a certain place. I met in the bathroom. And he says to me, hey, you know, how are things going? And, you know, and I thought that was a sincere question. But it was just a rhetorical thing. They didn't even care to listen. And when I began to tell him, he wasn't listening at all. And I said, oh, you know, and Lord told me, well, they don't care about you. You just said that. Why would you even bother? I said, wow. You know, and then Lord began to open my eyes, you know, and I began to see things. And I began to see, you know, into people. You know, and the Bible says about Jesus, he said, look, he knows what's in man. He's not going to be bothered with what anybody does because he knows what's in man. I pray the Lord will open your eyes to see these four groups of people that you need to disengage from. Because they don't have your good at heart. They don't care about you anyway. So why hang out with them? But here's good news. You know. Here are the type of people you need to surround yourself with. Another four sets of people. You know, groups of people or kinds or types of people. You've heard the negative that you should stay away from. But here are the people that you should surround yourself with in this your journey to emerge. Number one. People that know your weaknesses, but won't crucify you for those weaknesses. That's right. Spiritual leaders, you know, that will not leave you wounded like that. Those are the kind of leaders you need. But if they're looking to leave you wounded like that, they know your weakness, but they're going to crucify you and get away from them. But people that know your weakness, but will not crucify you. Now, we're not encouraging sin. That's why I didn't call it sin. I call it weakness, you know. But everybody has weaknesses. But if you're strong, then you need to uphold the weak. That's what the Bible says. But those who will not uphold them, then get away from them. But someone who knows your weakness, but will not crucify you. But instead, you know, they will try to help you get the victory over that. Now that is somebody that you need in your corner. Now, number two, those who know your strengths. Now, it's weakness and strengths. Everybody has some. You have some weakness, you have some strengths. You know, negative critics will focus only on your weaknesses. Now, Those who know your strengths and are going to always encourage you to grow in those strengths. And those are the kind of people you need around you. They know your weakness. They won't crucify you for those weakness. Number two, they know your strengths and they will encourage you how to grow in those strengths. You need these people during this journey of emerging. And number three, these are called mentors. Those who are where you want to be and are willing to help you get there. And they're already there, you know, but they are willing to help you get there. You know, they are not striving. They are not critical. They are not envious of your progress. They're actually willing to help you get to where you want to be. And they've already been there. Yeah. You need those people in your corner. That's number three. Number four, those that will fight your battles, even in your absence. Those are the greatest allies to have, whether spiritually, whether otherwise. They'll stand up for you, even when you're not there. They're not, you know, they're not just there to talk about your good. They only talk about your good side when you are there, and when you're not there, they stab you in the back. You don't want those people. But these are people that even when you are not there, they will stand up and fight for you. Somebody says something negative, I just say, no, not her. You know, they'll stand up for you. They'll fight on your behalf. Even in the business world, you know, there are people that will fight for you to help you get ahead. Even when you're not there. Those are the kinds of people you want in your corner. Now, well, let me tell you, you know, the number one person that fits that bill, that's the Holy Spirit. He fits that bill. He fits that bill like nobody else. He's in your corner. Hallelujah. You know, and whether you know it or not, he's fighting for you always. And there's a lot of things he does for us, even that we don't know. He fights our battles. Hallelujah. But he's always in your corner. Even when you're about to throw in the towel. You know, he will be in your corner telling you, get up. Now, of course, across the ring, yeah, your would-be destroyers are there telling you, stay down. The devil already knocked you down. And they want you to stay down for the count. Well, you know, I mean, it would be great if we all went through life and never got knocked down. But that's not going to happen. You will get knocked down. But the thing is this. Are you going to stay down for the count? Or who are you going to be listening to when you're down? Those across the, on the other side of the ring that tell you to stay down? You know, you can't amount to anything anyway. So just stay down. Or in your corner right here, Holy Spirit telling you, get up. You're a champion. You're more than a conqueror. I'm with you. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you got to get up. You got to get up and fight. Don't give up and don't give in. And the Holy Spirit will be right there with you. And the angel of the Lord on your side. But, you know, he's going to be telling you some things to do. And you got to respond positively. On the other side, tell you, nope, get down, throw in the towel, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the lesson for today. Our God knows how to mastermind would-be destiny killers. You know, even in spite of your own mistakes, sometimes we make mistakes and go down the wrong path and then people take advantage of it against you. Never worry about it. God has now put things in position to help you, and he'll turn those things around. You know, it's part of this Emerge series. God wants you to emerge, and nothing is going to keep you from emerging except your own self. And if you are foolish, you know, but to avoid those foolishness is why God's telling us these lessons. you know, so that you can avoid the pitfalls. You know, avoid the pitfalls. There's a lot of pitfalls that we revealed here today. And anybody in their minds, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 23, anybody or anything, and you know, people from Africa, they are always prone to these things. Oh, somebody doing me, somebody doing that, somebody is hindering my progress. Nobody is hindering your progress. Even if they are trying, it won't work, you know. But if you succumb to that kind of thing, or you subscribe to that kind of, you know, mentality, then of course, they'll have power over you. But Jesus already said in the book of John, chapter 3, when he was talking to Nicodemus, you heard me quote this scripture already a few times. He already said, look, as the wind blows where it wants, John 3 and 8, and you can't tell where it's going. You can only hear the sound. You don't know where it's coming. You don't know where it's going until it's gone. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. They cannot divine your life. They can't, you know, what are they going to do? There is no enchantment, according to Numbers 23 and 23, against the people of God. There's no divination that can work against you. All those would-be destiny killers, God will turn them around. And whether they are willing or unwilling, they will serve up the table for you. They become destiny helpers. They didn't mean to do it. They wanted to kill your destiny. But God said, these are my chosen. Touch not my anointed, saith the Lord. They're the apple of my eye. And I got my hand upon them for good. Now, I'm going to pray over the room. I'm going to leave it there. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Yes, we know that there would be destiny destroyers that would arise to try to snuff out the life of your people. They can't do it. I come against all would-be destiny destroyers that have pursued. Pharaoh said, I will pursue. But the Lord said, yeah, you may pursue, but I'm going to throw you down the midst of the sea. Now, everyone that has tried to pursue every demonic power, demonic spirit, spirit of enchantment, divination spirit, peeping and muttering spirits, and all the powers of hell that have pitted themselves against God's people, trying to make you not to advance and not to succeed, I come against them in the name of the Lord. And I speak the word of the Lord against them. The Lord turned their activities, according to Job chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says that the Lord will turn their devices, make them into nothing, and so that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise. And again, it is written, I am the Lord that frustrated the tokens of the liars. Well, all the liars and all the things that the Lord has planned for you that the enemy said, no, I will devour, I will destroy at once. It will go nowhere. You know, even the dragon, he stood right there. You know, before the woman that was pregnant said, if I can't prevent this birth from coming, well, I'm going to do everything I can to prevent it. But if I can't, soon as the child is born, I'm going to devour it. in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. But he couldn't do it. And he'll never do it. You know, the devil cannot prevent the purpose and plan of God for your life. The purposes and plan of God for your life shall be established. And the devil cannot prevent it. And he said, well, if I can't prevent it from coming to pass, I'm going to destroy it as soon as it comes to fruition. He can't do it either. The man-child was caught up to heaven, right in the presence of the dragon. You know, and he couldn't do it. And he'll never be able to do it in your life. I pray, as it is written in the volume of the book concerning the man-child, that the dragon that is standing before your dreams, he'll never be able to destroy it. I mean, he said he would be destroyer. Jesus said in John 10:10, the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But he will never do it. Jesus said, but I am come, on the other hand, to give you abundant life. Glory to God. Now let the spirit of life. Now I speak and prophesy to dead dreams in this place today. Glory to God. Let there be life. Thank you, Jesus. The life also of Jesus. Let it come upon the dreams. The devil wants to kill your dreams, steal your joy, destroy your life. Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant life. Life, and that abundantly. And you'll have it too. As you trust the Lord and remember his word that is written in the volume of the book concerning you, that you are more than a conqueror. Thank you, Father, for all your children in the house today. Now, we're going to pray that God will position, and he's already done it, but that he will make you recognize it along the way. And sometimes he won't let you know, but they will be there. Destiny helpers for you. Hallelujah. People are going to encourage you to shine forth. The scripture says in Isaiah 60 and 1, you know, arise and shine. The glory of the Lord is upon you. People that will encourage you that it's your time and you got to shine. And those are the people you want to listen to. Now, the Lord will position destiny helpers. The Lord will mastermind would-be destiny destroyers and turn them to be unwilling destiny helpers for you. But then the Lord will position willing destiny helpers. May the Lord help you to identify them in your life. You're going to need them. You can't do this journey alone. Even Jesus, he couldn't do it alone. He had to, you know, gather some disciples around him. But he handpicked one would-be destiny destroyer. That's right. Have I not chosen 12 of you? And one of you is a devil. But he was a destiny destroyer, or would-be. But God masterminded him and played into God's hands. He needed a Judas that will help to betray him so that he can fulfill his destiny. Well, Judas, he thought he was doing evil, but he played right into God's hands. And anyone that thought they're doing evil, they will play right into God's hands for you. And the ability, may the Lord give you the ability, you know, to manage and mastermind rebellion. That's right. Rebellion that was in the heart of Judas. Jesus managed that. He was even mentoring it at times. Sent Judas among the 70 and among the 12 to go out and do all this thing. But meanwhile, Jesus knew what was in his heart. And used it to his own advantage. That's right. The Lord give you wisdom. I can't go too deep into that right now. But the Lord give you wisdom. Give you understanding. The Lord cause you to come out on top. And you will be above only and not beneath. In Jesus' name. And as you prepare for your journey to emerge, listen to these words. Go back and listen to them again. And know that the Lord is in your corner. That's right. He's in your corner. And if you have stumbled, he say, get up. If the devil give you a cheap shot, knock you down, the Lord say, get up. And Micah said it best. You know, though he knock me down, I will arise. And though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Micah 7 and 8. I will not stay down for the count. And the Lord will not even allow you to stay down for the count. He'll bring destiny helpers along the way to pick you up and set you on your way. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.